opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome to Healing the Grieving Heart with your host, the mother-daughter team of Dr. Gloria Horsley and Dr. Heidi Horsley. Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi have devoted their lives to helping individuals move forward after a profound loss, and each week share stories of hope and understanding. They dedicate their show to their son and brother Scott and to others who have lost loved ones. Now join Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi and share the journey from grief and loss to hope and renewal.
Hello. Welcome to our show. I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley with my co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley.
Each week, Heidi and I invite you to join us and our inspirational guests as we discuss stories of loss, hope, and recovery. These shows are brought to you by the Open to Hope Foundation, whose mission it is to promote healing after loss and to help listeners like you. It's brought to you by the Open to Hope Foundation and by listeners like you. We also invite you to join our Open to Hope family by visiting our website, blogs, and YouTube channel, where you will find inspirational articles of poetry and grieving tips to support you on your journey of loss, hope, and recovery. If you're listening to our live Thursday internet show, you can call us by calling our toll-free number, 1-866-472-5792, with questions or comments regarding the losses in your life. These shows are archived on our blog, thegriefblog.com, as well as the CompassionateFriends.org websites. All shows can be downloaded on iTunes, and transcripts can be accessed on thegriefblog.com. Well, good morning, Heidi.
Good morning, Mom.
We're going to have a great show today. We've got two guests that are on the board of our foundation, the Open to Hope Foundation, so we're very pleased about that, and they're outstanding people. One of them is Fred Luskin, who's the director of the Stanford Forgiveness Project, and the other is Eric Hippel, who's the outreach coordinator for the University of Michigan Depression Center. I think it's particularly interesting to have Fred and Eric on the show because I like to get a male perspective, and also the fact that they have both lost children, so it being knowing where they come from and knowing what other people are suffering through, they can really give us some great advice today. And we're really going to focus on the military today, on loss forgiveness in the military, so it should be a great show. Before we get to them, Heidi, I wanted to talk to you, talk to our audience a little bit about what's going on our sites. Do you want to talk a little bit about our Open to Hope site and some of our writers?
Sure. We have about 125 writers on the site, and you can go in and read what they have written. And one of them, Richard Beck, is one of our featured writers today on our homepage at Open to Hope. And he wrote a piece called Why Do We Read, Write Our Grief Stories? And he made some points that I loved. And he just thought about why we go and blog in, why we write, and he said, and why we read. And he said, we read other stories to not feel alone. We write our own stories to feel understood. And then he talks about the fact that nobody lives in a vacuum. Loss can make people ill. It takes people to help people overcome loss. We give each other hope as we learn how others have endured, survived, and overcome loss. The foundation is called the Open to Hope Foundation.
So
I believe that,
yeah,
hope is the key for all of us as we live our lives and endure losses of all magnitudes. That was nice.
Yeah, that's great. And Richard is a great guy, and we have some wonderful writers, so go there and also listen to our archive shows, because we have, I don't know, we have about 130 at least now, and we try to put what the topics on there, so you'll be able to peruse through and see what shows that you think might be helpful to you or to others. Well, Heidi, would you like to introduce our guests today?
Sure, I'd love to. As you said, Mom, our guests today are Dr. Fred Luskin and Eric Hippel. And our topic is loss, forgiveness, and the military. On this show, Dr. Fred Luskin, director of the Stanford Forgiveness Project, and Eric Hippel, former quarterback for the Detroit Lions and outreach coordinator for the University of Michigan's Depression Center, will discuss the loss of their children and relate how forgiveness for self and others helps to decrease depression and promote hope and healing. They will share their work with the military and Fred's work and research with the Forgiveness Project. Fred is the author of Forgive for Good, and Eric is the author, with Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi, of Real Men Do Cry, a quarterback's inspiring story of tackling depression and surviving suicide loss. Welcome to the show, Eric and Fred.
Thank you. Thank you, Heidi. Thank you very much. That's
great. Well, why don't we start with Eric? Eric, can you tell us a little bit about your the loss of your son? Just I know our audience will want to hear a little about that before we get started with the talking about the military.
Well, I guess my story starts with.
Could you talk up a little bit, Eric?
We're having. Yeah, I guess my story starts with lack of knowledge or ignorance, if you want to call it that, of not knowing what depression is, not knowing what mental illness is. The sport that I played in was very rarely discussed, and in our family, very rarely discussed. However, it does run in our family. My mother suffered from depression.
Eric, you're kind of going in and out for me. Can you?
Can we stop?
Because both Heidi and Eric are barely audible to me.
Yeah, they may be to our station, though.
I'll speak really loud.
Okay, everybody talk
and,
it up. Here
my
we go.
Aunt at age 16 was institutionalized with schizophrenia, but was never discussed. And so when it came time for Jeff, and he went through every classical symptom, and which ended up as a suicide, unfortunately, the day that he died opened my eyes to a whole new thing, said, you know what, I went through all of those things, and I have gone through them, and I continue to go through those. And so I sought treatment to understand, for one, and also his death, but also to understand my own self and the growth that I went through and how to change and how to get treatment and how to be a better person and spread the word so other people will not be held in this ignorance and stigma that continues to go on.
Thanks, Eric. Oh, by the way, for everybody who's trying to record from different stations, I just got a message from the station that they can hear us, that our audience out there. So I guess if we're participants, we'll just have to hang in here. So, Fred, can you tell us a little bit about Anna's death, and has that impacted your forgiveness thoughts?
Well, our daughter was killed in a car crash, and she was just driving back from college to our home. And, you know, we still have no idea what or why it happened. It was a, you know, open road, and there was no, no observable cause. For me, it hasn't impacted the work I do at all. Not that I didn't have my personal suffering, but I had been knee-deep in people's horror and suffering for a decade. And had worked with parents who had their children murdered in civil wars, had done, you know, counseling and work with people whose family members were killed in the World Trade Center, are doing work in Sierra Leone. Of course it has more of an impact when it's my own child, but I at times the work that I was doing was overwhelming from the losses and the suffering, and it takes enormous courage to sit with people's pain and
it takes quite a bit to sit with your own,
willing,
too. Yeah.
And be willing to hold it, because at some level, grief is both universal and endless. I mean, we're going to lose everybody.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Fred, I was wondering if having your own loss helped you really understand at a very primitive level the depth of the pain that we all suffer when a family member dies.
No. No, it made no, it didn't.
You already had that.
That was something that I was willing to open to years before.
That's wonderful, because that's the one thing that I really took away from my own brother's losses. I read about pain, and I had, you know, heard about pain, but I didn't understand what that felt like on such a deep level until I experienced it.
You know, I would say clearly that was true for me as well. I'm not trying to make an argument out of this, until.
Right.
We had one project where we brought about almost 20 people to us who had immediate family members murdered. And that was the first time that I had ever sat with that level of horror. Mm-hmm. And one after another, the people would talk about how, like, somebody had just pulled their son over because they were from the wrong side of a political thing and shot them.
Right.
Or how somebody else had
this. And this would be the work you did in Ireland?
Yeah, in Ireland. Uh-huh. And this is why my first desire was simply to flee the room.
Mm-hmm.
Because I couldn't sit with a world where that could happen and this many, whatever, innocent people murdered and just in an endless sea. And what happened inside of me was to be able to hear that, I had to change.
You know, Fred, this is interesting because last week we interviewed someone who had taken some women to South Africa to work with, and her comment fits into this because she said that where there is more death in these communities, people are more in touch with it. They can sit with it in a stronger way. So I think that one of the things that happens in for a lot of people is they haven't been exposed to it at all, so it really is something totally different. And this community idea and being with other people. But, you know, it's almost time for us to go to break. And when we get back from break, I want to start talking about the military and what are the challenges for our military families, those who've suffered, say, loss of limb, and those who have actually have missing in action or have totally lost family members. So we'll be talking about that and some of the work that Eric's been doing and also some of the ideas that we Fred has about forgiveness and helping you with your forgiveness out there if you're feeling a tremendous amount of anger and rage and are willing to move into that area. And we also have a couple of emails that we'll be discussing that people have sent in on the topic of loss in the military. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. You're listening to Healing the Grieving Heart. You can reach us through the griefblog.com as well as the Open to Hope Foundation. These shows are brought to you by the Open to Hope Foundation, and all of the shows can be downloaded on iTunes. And we hope that you will participate with us and also go to the University of Utah on our site. The University of Utah is listed there. They are doing a really landmark study of Internet radio, our show, and we hope that you'll participate in that study with us by going, hitting on there and filling out a monkey survey. Please stay tuned for more.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hello, Drs. Gloria and Heidi are pleased to announce that their new book, Teen Grief Relief, Parenting with Understanding, Support, and Guidance, published by Rainbow Books, is now available. Grief Relief can be ordered through thegriefblog.com as well as Amazon. Book orders can be made through the Book Clearinghouse at 800-431-1579. This book is a must for any family suffering a loss. Get your copy right now at thegriefreliefblog.com or amazon.com.
The Compassionate Friends Self-Help Bereavement Support Organization has nearly 600 chapters in the United States, offering friendship, understanding, and hope to families that have experienced the death of a child, no matter the age or cause. If your family has suffered this tragic loss, there is no reason for you to walk this difficult journey alone. Many who have had a child die have learned how helpful it is to be able to talk or just listen in a group setting with those who truly understand the pain of losing a child. To locate a chapter near you or to receive a free comprehensive bereavement packet, including a copy of the Compassionate Friends National Magazine, We Need Not Walk Alone, call toll-free 877-969-0010. You are also invited to visit the TCF National website at CompassionateFriends.org.
This is Dr. Heidi Horsley. Just a reminder that Healing the Grieving Heart, Internet Radio, and thegriefblog.com are sponsored by the Open to Hope Foundation, a nonprofit web-based foundation whose mission is to help bereaved individuals cope with their pain and find hope in their future. My mom and I hope you will visit our foundation website at www.opentohope.com and become a part of our caring community.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. We are talking today with Dr. Fred Luskin, author of Forgive for Good, and Eric Hipple, author of Real Men Do Cry, about loss, forgiveness, and the military. Welcome back to the show, Fred, Eric, and Gloria.
Thanks, Heidi. Well, Eric, you've been doing some things for the military, going around and speaking and all that kind of thing. So I was wondering, what do you see as some of the major issues about grief and loss for the military?
Some of the major issues and how I got involved was they're trying to think outside the box now and try and get people to open up and seek help. That the macho, typical men do not want to talk about it, try and do it. And then there's that code of silence of, well, I can protect my friend. I don't have to, so I'll respect that. In which cases, many times, is not the proper way to go. So,
yeah, well, it,
what I
it,
see
yeah.
is, you know, what the separation issue when people come back from deployment and now they're faced with their family, they're trying to readjust back into family issues, and yet there's a lot of the finger pointing maybe sometimes, like, okay, so what was it like when I was here? Did you do? Because that separation is really hard.
What did you do while I was gone? Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly, yeah. So, and there's a lot of suspicions along
yeah.
the way.
Well, women also tell me it's hard to have the guys back because they've been used to doing their own thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though they're happy to have them back.
The family, the mother or the wife is all of a sudden taking over the kids. Now we have somebody come back from deployment here. And now how they fit back into their family. The second thing, and that creates a lot of anger, the second thing also is, one thing that's very difficult is, especially dealing with the Army, is they don't have a set amount of time for deployment. They might go over for 12 months, and then all of a sudden, when the time's up, they tell them, well, we need you for another, another 2 months over here. Okay, so they don't have a really definite time when they leave, so they might end up in an 18-month deployment when they weren't originally to. And then when it's time for them to come, they move them over to another place. So they get redeployed without even getting a chance to come home for the leave. And so the anger and the, this wasn't how it was supposed to be, and blame goes back and forth a lot in that area. And then, of course, you've got loss of limb, loss, you know, those that are actually injured.
Yeah, we've had Jerry Weitzman on the show, and he had his leg blown off landmine. He's talked a little bit about that.
Yeah.
And Eric, I just read something on CNN.com saying that in January,
yes.
24 soldiers, and you know this, 24 soldiers committed suicide. More soldiers killed themselves than died in combat in January.
Yes. And that's one thing they're looking at. In fact, this last weekend, they had what they called a stand down, which means that every Army officer, National Guard, that's tied to it, they all had meetings all over the country and sat down, and in country as well, and sat down and said, this is our suicide prevention model. We're going to facilitate it and put it out. And they've been working on doing something like that only because those numbers got to the point where if you're losing more from your own than you are from the enemy, something's not right. And so they had tried to address it as soon as possible. I don't know what the outcome of that is, where it's going to lead, but there certainly is those that all of a sudden get redeployed are angry. You know, I have to go back. When I come back, then I got to face the civilian life again. And what do I do?
So, Fred, what's your take on what Eric's saying? What do you come up with when you hear him talk about this? As far as helping people with deal with this loss of limb or their anger.
Well, I my interest in collaborating with Lee and talking to Eric was I worked for a year at a VA hospital, and I'm struck even with any of the work I do by the intense horror that of strain and that anybody who has to even just leave their family for a year and be put in such dangerous conditions, it alters the nervous system.
Also, the idea of actually shooting at people and killing them.
Yeah, and you know, there's even good research that a significant percentage of people can't even do that. That it violates some part of us that, you know, we don't want to have violated. That, you know, we don't want to kill people. And
yeah, I read something at World War II. There were a huge number of people that never shot their guns, even in battle.
And they've been working to winnow that down. I mean, in the Civil War, you know, huge swaths of people just dropped their arms and left, and each time. But the point being that accessing back the loving parts of people and being able to communicate in effective, caring ways, I from what I saw, a lot of people who go into the military have weaker skills in this to begin with, and then B, the experiences that they've been through are so traumatic, whether it's that they're just away from their loved ones or somebody cheated on them, they've gotten hurt, but that there's just a crying need for almost like heart education or heart re-education, which would be anger management and forgiveness and being able to, you know, really communicate your wounds to people you love. And I just don't see that there's enough of that in a generic sense. And then you get to the people who have been brutally, you know, traumatized, and the services they require are more intense. So I resonate with Eric in a very global sense of more needs to be done to help these people survive the overarching difficulty.
And how about those family members at home?
That seems like a no-brainer to me.
Mm-hmm. And
how that,
yeah.
There is something from my point of view.
Sure,
I mean,
we
have these young people who volunteer to be harmed, so we can go about our lives as if nothing is going on, and I just believe we owe them more.
Yeah. Well, I want to read an email to you, and Eric, you can comment on. This email is from Roger from Wilmington, Delaware. He said, and it's one of the emails that was sent to us on the grief blog. Roger said, "My son was killed in Iraq. He was married, but he and his wife were in the process of getting divorced. The military has given all control of his body and personal items to his wife. I tried to talk to his commander, but he said there was nothing they could do about it. I'm very angry. I don't know who to blame most, the government or his wife. It seems like anger is the only thing that's keeping me sane. I don't know what to do with the situation because I have two grandchildren involved." So that's from Roger. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I can give you just a thought from teaching people, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who have that. People are angry like that because they don't feel safe either within themselves or in their world to feel their immense sadness and loss.
Mm-hmm.
That it's a substitute for grief.
So if he wasn't out there angry at other people, he could be angry at himself?
No, it's just that either he doesn't feel safe within himself to feel his level of sadness. I mean, a lot of people can't hold how awful that is to lose your son.
Mm-hmm.
And they just can't hold it, and they may not have enough social support, and so in order to keep some kind of sense that they're doing something, they get angry.
And maybe reach out.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on that, Eric, for Roger?
Yeah, I agree with Fred in the idea that when I lost my son, I was angry with myself. I was never angry with him. I was angry with myself for letting it happen. It was on my watch. It never should have happened. He went through some of the things that I went through. I should have recognized it. And it took me about a year to fight through that anger, and finally, to the point where it got real bad. And the way I found myself through that anger was, you know what, this happened, and the best way I can reconcile that is, you know, forgive myself for one, and then forgive myself for my actions for that total year after he died, in which I was just belligerent and a total, when we use the word, okay. But and it took me that forgiveness to go forward.
Yeah. Well, Roger, one of the things I'd also like to say is go for some resources. TAPS is out there. TAPS is an interesting organization because they will actually work with families. They're a nonprofit, and they will work with you even though you've lost your son. You can go on their blogs and interact with TAPS. Are there any other things for families that you know of, or Do you have any suggestions of Fred for somebody who, he, it looks like, I don't know if he was an ex-serviceman himself or not, because he said he got in touch with his commander. So if he is there anything the VA offers for these families where they're not the ones that were in combat?
Well, I mean, the thing that I know as a person who helps is a couple of things help. Find other people who have the same pain and share it. And as that process unfolds, find somebody who's in more pain or newer pain and try to help them.
Because mm-hmm. They're reaching out.
It's by these kind of communities that we realize that we're never alone in this. I mean, my God, you know, the dying is everywhere, and that we can make a difference. And as long as he stays angry, he's never going to get there, and he's just going to build a wall around himself to avoid having to feel the immensity of his loss.
Right.
Yeah, sometimes it's scary, like you're saying, Fred, to get underneath the anger.
Yeah.
There's a great deal of pain sometimes. And I think you make a good point when you talk about your forgiveness is that, you know, a lot of people, when I do a lot of stuff, I've been working with 9/11 groups for 7 years and seeing the anger and rage, and a lot of the families I work with, a lot of the people say, why do I have to give this up? I don't want to give this up. And the problem is they're pushing people away, and also it's wreaking havoc on their health, the anger.
But let me even add one thing. Is one of the things that we've come to understand is that the people who stay angry for a long period of time, they miss the broadness of suffering, and they're over-identified with their own. That the healthy healing response is to start with your suffering, because that's where it begins, and then gradually move. Just, it's not just about me. This is what happens to all human beings. And the blend of that is when people become powerful or effective. And it doesn't mean that you just ignore your suffering because it happens to everyone. But the people who get stuck, who year after year are angry, there's a kind of self-absorbed fragrance to it, which is, this is just mine, and I'm missing the fact that everywhere around me, similar things are happening.
Well, that's a good point to go out on break. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. You're listening to Healing the Grieving Heart, and we are listening to Eric Hipple and Fred Luskin, and we're talking about forgiveness and opening yourself to that forgiveness and dealing with the military. You can reach us through our blog, thegriefblog.com, as well as the Open to Hope Foundation. Please stay tuned for more.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hello, I'm Eric Hipple, former quarterback of the Detroit Lions and outreach coordinator of the University of Michigan Depression Center. It gives me great pleasure to announce the publication of my autobiography, Real Men Do Cry, a quarterback's inspiring story of tackling depression and surviving suicide loss, written with Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi Horsley and published by Quality of Life. Real Men Do Cry takes you on my journey of fame and fortune to unbearable pain and depression following the death of my 15-year-old son, Jeff, and gives practical information on the warning signs and risks of depression. My story ends with an uplifting message of hope and recovery. I have faith that if I have made it, you can too. You can visit my website to learn more about my book at erichipple.com and more about depression on depressioncenter.org. Thank you.
This is Dr. Heidi Horsley. Just a reminder that Healing the Grieving Heart, Internet Radio, and thegriefblog.com are sponsored by the Open to Hope Foundation, a nonprofit web-based foundation whose mission is to help bereaved individuals cope with their pain and find hope in their future. My mom and I hope you will visit our foundation website at www.opentohope.com and become a part of our caring community.
A new child bereavement study is being conducted by a doctoral student at Seattle Pacific University. This study investigates the positive and negative personal and relationship outcomes of parents who have lost a child. These questions are based on you, your present relationship with your partner, your social support following your loss, and your personal experiences following your loss. If you have lost a child, you are invited to participate in this 20-minute survey. Participation is confidential, and you may change your mind at any time. If you think you would like to participate, please go to www.lostresearch.webs.com. Or, if you have any questions or would prefer the questionnaire to be sent to you, please contact Hillary Van Horn by phone at 1-530-902-4562 or by email at hvanhorn@coh.org. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Hello, my name is Neil Chethick. I'm the executive editor for the Open to Hope Foundation and author of the book Father Lost, How Sons Deal with the Death of Their Dad. As editor of the foundation, it's my job to find writers for our website, writers who would like to contribute their articles, poetry, and personal stories about grief, loss, hope, and recovery. If you'd like to write for our website, please contact me. You can do that by visiting opentohope.com. and click on the category Write for Us. Then you can start bringing your words, your stories, to our fast-growing audience around the world.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. We are talking today with Dr. Fred Luskin, author of Forgive for Good, and Eric Hippel, author of Real Men Do Cry, about loss, forgiveness, and the military. Welcome back to the show, Fred, Eric, and Gloria.
Thanks, Hyde. Well, when we went to break, we were just talking a little bit about men in the military, and we wanted to have Eric have a personal or an experience he wanted to tell us about, and then we wanted to move on to having Fred talk a little bit about forgiveness in these situations. Do you want to go for it, Eric?
Yes, I do, and there's two, and they're short, so I think they combine. One was a soldier who came back from Afghanistan and had lost several of his friends, and it was horrifying for him the way they lost. But when he came back, he felt guilt, survivor guilt for one. He tried to take his life. He said, I should have been out there with them. It should have been me. And so he was seeking help that way. The other one was, and this is very strange, I met him at an airport on the way to do a prevention model, and he was an interrogator. And his job was in the counterintelligence, but he was an interrogator, and he said some of the things that he did to people, he felt so bad about later that he took him a long time to, I don't even know if he has forgiven himself, but he said, I felt like I was going to hell, that I would never be able to live again, the things that I did to other people, and I don't know how to live with it.
That's interesting because it's one of your situations is where a person saw other people die, and the other one was he actually did it himself. Yeah. You know, did something to people. What's your thought on that, Fred?
We ask way too much of 20-year-old kids, mm-hmm. and we ask awful things of them, and we don't give them enough support and skills when they get back to handle what it is that we ask of them, and. You know, when I don't necessarily work with people in the military as much, but I have worked with people who have done things that they're horrified at, or you know, when they have failed to protect people they love, and there is a piece of self-forgiveness, a kind of compassion for how unbearably difficult it simply is that. You know, if you're getting shot at or 10,000 miles from home and in a place where you're not wanted, there is no way to do that perfectly. There is simply no way. And one of the forgiveness trainings would be to, you know, to just work on or eliminate that sense that somehow you can handle this overwhelming stress in an environment where nothing makes sense, and you're not even the one who sent you here. And it would be absurd to think.
I love the idea that there's no perfect way to do it. Oh, wow.
Yes, there's no perfect way to do it. And the other piece that we focus on then is the fact that you're concerned about that now shows that you haven't lost your humanity.
So it's
like
a good thing. Yeah, I like that positive reframe.
So do I.
That's
I like
great.
That. That's cool.
Yeah. So do you see men showing up for these things?
One of the great ironies of our forgiveness work is it's like 90% women. And one time we tried to recruit men by changing the recruitment from want to learn to forgive to got a grudge. And when we changed it to got a grudge, we got some men. But I think this is a really important conversation, actually, is to how to take these softer skills and these positive emotion skills, adapt them for men so that we can use them in the military to be of help.
You know, this it just a light dawns for me is this is perfect for the forgiveness for your model and for your work, because the guys coming back, you have got a captive audience, particularly if they've had some injury. You've actually got the guys there and you can actually help them. You've got them as an audience there to help them work on this forgiveness. It's great. Have you had any luck bringing that into the military? Because I think it's really important.
Well, that was the conversation that Eric and I have been just starting. Is I think the two simplest ways would be to have something very simple, either written or in a CD or a DVD for the family members, because that's the easiest, is within people that love each other. But some kind of brief intervention when people return to let them know that part of this process is to let go of these toxic emotions that it's almost natural that they will have from all the incredible strain that they've been under.
Now, can you talk about, you've got four stages, can you briefly talk about them for our audience out there so they get, certainly they'll want to get your book, but can you talk briefly about what the four stages would be?
Yeah, I mean, when people go from, grievance and hostility or self-pity to forgiveness, they go in like four stages. One is they're just convinced that they're right, kind of the like that email you wrote that, I'm just raging or life feels violently unfair and awful and I'm right to be this way. And then for many people, that tension and hostility wears on them. And after a while, it depletes them. And for a moment, this is the second stage, they take a break from it. They go, oh, okay, for this moment at least I can let it go, even though I'm right. But that's the crack into forgiveness. Instead of just wearing oneself out, that happens. And then the third stage is actively cultivating that greater peace or kind of harmony. And that's between stages two and three is where we try to teach. And then the fourth stage is that you practice trying not to get that upset in the first place. That people who have forgiven very difficult things tend to then use it preventatively. So we have worked with people who have like stood life's horrors, and then they become coaches for other people, or then they know how to soften their own reaction, and so they're more in grief than in toxic hatred. And grief is a very adaptive, though painful, experience, and toxic hatred is, not that adaptive and certainly doesn't bring healing to the world.
One thing that comes up for me, too, and Heidi, I think it will for you, is that one of the things that we've seen most successful with some of the guests we've had on the show is matching, right, Heidi? Matching people like we access their plane accidents, and they're matching the families that are left after someone dies in a plane accident with other people who've had the same experience through the Internet and all that. And I'm thinking, boy, if you had this forgiveness program and then matched up these military people on the Internet, the people that have been through it, so they could partner with those people?
Yeah, so people that are already in a place of forgiveness matched with people that are maybe at the, initial stages of this.
Well, you're talking like a 12-step program where you have somebody who's successful who's been there but seen the other side and can then be, you know, a coach or a buddy to somebody who is not.
Exactly. And with the Internet, you don't have to live in their hometown.
And especially with the military, because I think military guys might respond to other military guys.
Yeah. What do you think, Eric?
They certainly do. And they also identify with men. They also identify with like kind of fraternity type organizations, because the military, when they're in a platoon, when they're together, when they're a unit, it is the locker room type deal where you have a commander, you have somebody overlooking them. And I'll tell you this right now, that the upper echelon understand the mission. They do. It's the guys below them that don't understand why we're doing this. Why am I going out from knocking door to door? Why am I down below swabbing a deck on a ship? I don't understand the overall mission, and so that loss of translation of what we're trying to do also lends itself to anger and to remorse and I lost the word I was trying to use, but the main
disappointment
thing is,
for sure.
Yeah, but the main thing is, I think what I like what Fred said is, no matter what the loss is, no matter where it is, if you let anger be your guide, okay, for life to keep moving, and that's what's keeping you alive, you're never ever going to have a happy life, and you're not going to have the freedom from that guilt or that anger itself. So I like what he said, and then I like what you guys said as far as saying, listen, once we've mastered that forgiveness, okay, and we're able to forgive, yes, then I think it's true to where you match up to like kind. It doesn't have to be that way, but
well, it's certainly what Compassionate Friends does, you know, with their groups
exactly.
of parents.
Exactly, and you know, for
but except that one of the things
are different than other deaths. They
except
are.
One of the things I'll have to say when we come back from break, maybe we can talk about it. Is again, Compassionate Friends. It's for people who've had kids die, and if you go to their national conference, and Heidi and I'll be going this summer in August, and we'll be presenting. Probably 3/4 of the audience will be women. Could be a little higher. So I love this idea and thought, and I want to talk about it more when we come back from break, about how we engage these military people and get involved with this forgiveness and finding compassion for ourselves and for others. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. We're speaking with Fred Luskin and Eric Hipple about loss, forgiveness, and the military. You can reach us through our blog, thegriefblog.com, as well as the Open to Hope Foundation. The shows are brought to you by the Open to Hope Foundation. All shows are archived on our sites, and they can be downloaded on iTunes. Stay tuned for more.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
The Compassionate Friends Self-Help Bereavement Support Organization has nearly 600 chapters in the United States, offering friendship, understanding, and hope to families that have experienced the death of a child, no matter the age or cause. If your family has suffered this tragic loss, there is no reason for you to walk this difficult journey alone. Many who have had a child die have learned how helpful it is to be able to talk or just listen in a group setting with those who truly understand the pain of losing a child. To locate a chapter near you or to receive a free comprehensive bereavement packet, including a copy of the Compassionate Friends National Magazine, We Need Not Walk Alone, call toll-free 877-969-0010. You are also invited to visit the TCF National website at CompassionateFriends.org.
Hello, Drs. Gloria and Heidi are pleased to announce that their new book, Teen Grief Relief, Parenting with Understanding, Support, and Guidance, published by Rainbow Books, is now available. Grief Relief can be ordered through thegriefblog.com as well as Amazon. Book orders can be made through the Book Clearinghouse at 800-431-1579. This book is a must for any family suffering a loss. Get your copy right now at thegriefreliefblog.com or amazon.com.
Hello, my name is Beverly McManus. In 2003, my husband Steve died of cancer. It's been a tough journey, but it's been softened by being part of the Open to Hope Foundation caring community. This year, Abel Keogh, whose wife died by suicide, and I have launched the www.opentohopedeathofaspouse.com website. We're working hard to have timely articles and create a dialogue of support. The important thing to know is that you are not alone. We'd like to share your grief journey with you and others who have lost their partners, and invite you to help us get the word out about the www.opentohopedeathofaspouse.com site. You can also reach us by going to opentohope.com and scrolling down to the bottom of the page where all of the Foundation's blog links can be viewed. Thanks.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi for our final segment of Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal for those who have suffered the loss of a loved one.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. We are talking today with Dr. Fred Luskin, author of Forgive for Good, and Eric Hipple, author of Real Men Do Cry, about loss, forgiveness, and the military. Welcome back to the show, Fred, Gloria, and Eric.
Thanks, Hyde. I wanted to, folks reminded me during break that I need to tell people what TAPS is. TAPS is an organization for military families. It's a nonprofit. It's head of it. The executive director is Bonnie Carroll. We have a military blog on the Open to Hope Foundation, and you can go there and read some of the things that they've written, and you can also then link over to their other TAPS. Add to their other website. And one of the things that I think is really interesting about TAPS, and I didn't realize and I never thought about it, is that you don't have to have been a military person yourself to benefit from the support of this organization. If you've got a brother who's been over there, or a cousin who's been over there, or if you have been in the military in, say, Vietnam, and you want some family support, you can go to them. Or if you're the wife of somebody who went to Vietnam and you're concerned, you can get involved with TAPS. So it's a wonderful resource organization. And I'd also like to have Fred talk a little bit about his website and his work, and then I would like Eric to do the same thing. And then we wanted to finish up talking a little bit about how, because more men show up, more women show up than men at these organizations, how families might be helped. So, Fred, do you want to start with telling about your website?
Well, my website is learningtoforgive.com, and my work is I've written a couple of books on forgiveness, one generally called Forgive for Good, and one for couples called Forgive for Love. And I have done research and teaching on forgiveness, like, all around the world for a decade.
And people can go to your website if they want you to be a speaker or something for them, and you do have seminars now?
You could find out how to contact me, and they could see our research, and they can download the 9 steps to forgiveness, and, you know, just give them it will give a simple introduction to what we do.
Okay, great. And Eric, how about you? You've got a website.
We've got a website. It's hipple.com. Of course, I need to update, and what I do is I put events on there, what's coming up, where I'll be, what's going on. And not only that, it also has a place where you can put your name in and have a question. And I am ecstatic about this. I will contact and call or set up, especially for individual questions or somebody's having a problem. So I have that. One thing I wanted to mention, and hope I'm not stepping on your toes, Gloria, the fact that Fred had mentioned that a lot of his audience members sometimes are women, and I find the same thing. Even though we will put Real Men, Real Depression, and even in the documentary, when we go and show the documentary Real Men, Real Depression, what we find is a majority of women that are there, and it's not because they're looking for answers for themselves sometimes, even though that's the case, but they're looking for a way. They recognize something that's wrong with their men, and they're looking for answers on what they can do to help their men.
So as Fred was saying, family intervention may be one of the strongest interventions. You know, I think this fits into an email. I want to give another quick email. It's Susan from Boise, Idaho. And by the way, I also want to say thanks, everybody, for the emails, and keep them coming, and keep writing for the Grief Blog. Susan from Boise says, I saw that you were going to talk about forgiveness in the military. My husband is on his second tour of duty. I had a miscarriage 6 months ago, and I have 2 boys, 7 and 9, at home. I frankly feel very angry. Do you have any ideas for me? So, Fred, any ideas for her about this anger?
I mean, you're asking a complex question, but I can give you some simple things. First is that we have to accept the life we've chosen. I mean, there's a tough love piece to it, and you know, she's married to a military person. This is what happens.
That's a good
and,
point.
And, you know, that's part of it. Beyond that, the necessity of each of us to deal successfully with the cards that we've been dealt is a very powerful one. And there, so you would have to practice to regulate the emotions. Stress management would have to be practiced so she can calm herself down. Gratitude is essential for what she does have so she doesn't get lost in self-pity. Developing good social networks so she's not alone. I mean, the simplest skills are for everyone. Making sure she takes care of her health. Making sure, you know, she is a good mother. I mean, we have one life, and our health, our mental and physical health, there are things we can do to maintain it. And it may not be easy. I mean, that's the other piece. For some people, they just are in a position where life can be difficult and involve suffering, and that's just part of the piece. You just have to keep it as contained as possible.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really some good points you've got there for Susan, and I would suggest, Susan, thanks for the email, and I would also suggest that you head for Fred's website also to read some of those points of forgiveness and get his book. Do you have any thoughts, Eric, about that, about Susan and these guys going and, you know, the families being angry?
Yeah, I do, and it's a common theme. Separation at any time is tough, and when you're gone for a long time, sometimes the mind plays thoughts on itself as far as, so what's going on, why they're gone, how come they're not taking care of business, so I get angry about that, and yet when I try and report and say, well, this is what I'm doing, then they get angry and say, well, you shouldn't be doing it that way, and I think that dynamic is very, very difficult. Especially when you're talking about young age, or even, you know,
Are there any programs for families coming back? Does the VA have programs, Eric, or is there something going on for families coming back?
They're working on several right now, and the Army is really taking an aggressive role right now as far as doing that. They've really put a program forward for the National Guard. Here in Michigan, we're one of the groups that the instituted is called the Buddy to Buddy system, but they're taking guys. Taking them to a retreat with the families complete, and they're working with the families on how to reconnect, how to talk. You know, see, one of the problems with when the National Guard first were being deployed, if they got hurt, they went back to the Army base they were deployed from, and they're still separated from their family.
Mm.
So they've worked on that to bring them back and get, you know, local help so they can be with their family. But now that whole reconnection process is being being instituted, and I think that's huge. That gets people talking again and get rid of that. As Fred says, gets rid of that anger side of it, and they can look at each other and they can communicate again.
Mm-hmm. It must be very hard coming together after such long. I mean, when my husband was gone for a week on business or something, you come back, you've already kind of organized yourself doing other things and trying to connect together. And plus, when they come back, they've got jet lag, too, strangely enough, to think about it. They've entered their family with jet lag.
Well, not only jet lag, but they're also coming back into a completely different mindset, which is one where if you think about the stress excess, which is, you know, on your toes, on your alert the whole time, you're
right.
Hypertension.
You know, it's time for us to close the show.
Now you got to come back down into all of a sudden try and fit into a family model.
Eric, have you got one last shot for somebody? It's time for us to close the show. Have you got
very good.
Comment?
Yeah.
Fred, do you have a last comment you'd like to go out of the show with?
You know, the thing that I've learned is the smallest amount of practice make a difference. So no matter how dire one's circumstances, you can always, like, practice some goodwill, compassion, helping somebody else, taking better care of yourself, whatever, in little bits. Like, nobody's going to bite off the whole chunk at one time. And if somebody's listening to this and they just walk outside and they feel the sunshine on them and they feel a little better for a moment, like, that's a good thing.
That's a great, great
and Mom, I wanted to just give a little quote that Craig Scott gave, who was involved in the Columbine shootings, and he lived, he watched his sister and 12 friends die, and he said, forgiveness is like setting a prisoner free and finding out that prisoner is you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Eric and Fred, for being on the show today. It's been great having you on.
Thank you, Gloria. Thank you, Heidi. And thank you, Fred. It's been wonderful. Thank you.
Please stay tuned again next week, and our topic will be resilience, hope, and recovery with our guest Jennifer Steinman, documentary filmmaker of Motherland. The film chronicles the unique journey of six women, each grieving the loss of a child as they travel to South Africa to work as volunteers. And Lannis Etcherling, professor of psychology at James Madison University. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley.
Helping people find forgiveness and heal after loss.
I appreciate it.
Hey, Eric, at some point we should yak again.
I think so.
You have been listening to Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi Horsley on Healing the Grieving Heart, heard live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on health.voiceamerica.com and worldtalkradio.com. Healing the Grieving Heart is archived on thegriefblog.com as well as the CompassionateFriends.org websites. Tune in again next week, and thanks for listening.